You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Auckland Central and Green Party MP Chloe Swarbrick has recently launched a petition to pedestrianise Queen Street. This comes 10 years after the council signed off on the Auckland City Centre Master Plan, with intentions to pedestrianise that has consistently faced barriers. Although this could see benefits in returning foot traffic to Queen Street, some have commented on fears about lost sales from vehicle drivers and safety. I spoke to Swarbrick, first asking about why she thinks Tamaki Makaurau could benefit from a carless Queen Street.
Well, first things first, this was signed off 10 years ago in a plan called Access to Everyone as part of something called the City Centre Master Plan. That was a huge piece of work, which was a collaboration between Auckland Council, Auckland Transport, their local business associations, and of course the residents. And the vision effectively is to have a Queen Street and surrounding areas that are a destination unto themselves, not a thoroughfare. However, as we've seen, that over the past decade, there has been a number of court case threats. There's obviously been kind of death by what some in the urbanism space call the business case industrial complex, where we've consistently seen that that vision has been whittled down in almost practice, and that the compromises that have been achieved are nowhere near satisfactory for, ironically, either side of the debate. So what we're trying to do with this petition, which is a partnership between myself as a local MP and City Centre Residents Group, which represents around 40 to 45,000 people who live in our city centre, is that it's time to get on with it.
What obstacles have been in place over the past 10 years since this idea was originally put into writing?
Well, interestingly enough, speaking to Waitemata local board just yesterday, the chair there, Richard Norvey, made the point that, you know, there has been motion after motion and attempts to get moving on pedestrianisation of Queen Street for actually far longer than the past 10 years that this vision has been solidified and signed off by council. It's something which has been floated since the 60s and the 70s. The main barriers, I think, are ironically exactly the same barriers that were faced in the 14-year fight to pedestrianise Cuba Street in Wellington. That is a recycling of all of these arguments around how apparently it'll be death to business, that, you know, if we aren't able to sort out immediately all of these issues around traffic management in other ways, then it'll cause chaos. But again, when Wellington grabbed the bull by the horns in the 60s and 70s and got on with it, as we've seen, that retail space has become some of the most desirable in the capital, and nobody can imagine it going back to the way that it was. So I guess that's the call to action, is that we've seen this work really well locally in Aotearoa, New Zealand, but also with comparable examples in the likes of Sydney's George Street, which at the start of the pandemic decided to utilise the reality of the disruption and to start pedestrianising blocks, 4,500 square metres of it, and consistently iterating was what the community and people who were visiting the space wanted. And over time, making it incredibly successful these past 1.5 years, nobody can imagine it going back to the way it was.
Currently, a major fear that a lot of people have had is talking about the current crime rates in the CBD, especially and including Queen Street. Do you reckon that this would make this any better, or would it possibly even further worsen these issues?
So urban design is a really important fundamental element of safety and security and well-being. When you have open pedestrian spaces that people want to hang out in, you have an increase in what is known by sociologists as the surveillance effect. That is, more people and more eyes on the street looking out for each other and being able to spot when things are going awry. So ultimately, yes, this would be massively beneficial for increasing people's sense of safety.
Do you think that there could still be any forms of public transport within this pedestrianised Queen Street? For example, a lot of people I know take the CityLink bus up to Kay Road, maybe they take the InnerLink over to Ponsonby. Is there any way that these tools could still be in place?
Yeah, there absolutely is a way that these tools could be in place. I mean, if you look at the vision of particularly George Street in Sydney, which is 3 kilometres long, same as our Queen Street, there's a light rail that's running directly down it on the surface. And I mean, this is where, you know, the rubber hits the road in terms of the government's plans around the likes of light rail. The Greens have made no bones about the fact that we would have preferred an above ground option, which is more efficient for people to jump on and jump off because of the visibility of it, but also that convenience. In turn, it's also far cheaper and quicker to deploy. It has far less embedded carbon. But nonetheless, the government has decided to go with the undergrounding option. And again, our message to them on that is to just get on with it. But for the time being, when we're talking about Queen Street and the opportunity to use public transport down it, we know from Auckland Transport that while the CRL works are going on in particular, that they are rerouting buses down there as opposed to Albert Street. And again, if that needs to continue, then sure, let's have an open, frank, honest discussion about that. But as this disruption is already occurring, particularly in the likes of Midtown, we have an opportunity to shut a few blocks and to just see what is possible when people enjoy our street spaces. Queen Street should not be a thoroughfare. It should be a destination unto itself.
Do you think that we could maybe in the future, if Queen Street did get pedestrianised, see other parts of central Auckland possibly get pedestrianised? Maybe there could be a future where Ponsonby Road is paved over, or possibly Karanganawha Road could be things. Do you think that those would also be where we're moving towards?
I love the way that you're talking. I think that most people, when they see just how successful these things can be, do want to see them rolled out and deployed in more places and spaces. However, I think the situation that we've currently found ourselves in is that there are so many people who are unsatisfied with the status quo, yet for some reason or another don't want any improvements or changes to the status quo. So we have to get out of this place right now of being stuck in the mud, unwilling to take risks and utilise the disruption as it's currently occurring. And as soon as we do those things, and no one's saying that it's going to be perfect right off the bat, but it's got to be better than this process of constantly being stymied and doing anything that people may or may not like, I do think that we'll start to see more people, obviously when it becomes a space that retailers and hospitality want to be, but I'm sure that you'll see that more people will desire this stuff. It's just the case that we haven't done urban planning and design very well at all for a very long time in Tāmaki Makaurau, Auckland.
If we do pedestrianise Queen Street, people are fairly worried about the costs that it will incur considering the amount that is already being spent on things like City Rail Link, the City of Colour exhibitions. I believe that that costs a decent amount of money, and I saw a lot of people criticising that. Is it the best use of money right now in the current state of, like, kind of post-COVID, kind of mid-COVID Auckland? We are still struggling a lot, especially with these businesses. Is the cost that it will have to pedestrianise, to pave over and to make it safe on Queen Street worth that?
So first things first, I think it's really important to actually talk about what we're talking about, to actually define what we're talking about when we talk about the economy, right? Because sure, we can be talking about financial transactions, and obviously those in the business community want to see those financial transactions increase. Will that occur by virtue of creating a Queen Street that more people want to hang out in? Absolutely, yes. When you're talking about particularly the cost of doing activations and otherwise, again, the question is, what's the opportunity cost of not doing those things, of not having people come in, not only in a financial sense, but also in a well-being sense? So, you know, also to your point around kind of paving over and those other bits and pieces, there's not a whole lot that actually has to be done with getting on with pedestrianising parts of Queen Street right now and trialling it with, you know, for example, putting pop-ups in the middle of the street, activations and otherwise. You don't have to create cobblestone streets in order to have spaces that people want to hang out in. Those aesthetic features can come further down the track, but for the time being, we have the opportunity to have incredibly cost-efficient pedestrianisation and to trial a whole bunch of things with actually street furniture and the likes that council already has access to.
That was Auckland Central MP Chloe Swarbrick on pedestrianising Queen Street. I also had a chat with Greg Harford from Retail New Zealand about some of the issues that they think could arise without cars on Queen Street. I first asked him what his organisation thinks of the movement.
Well, I think Retail NZ thinks it's absolutely important that there's been good provision made for pedestrians, cyclists and other forms of public transport. But there are some potential fishhooks associated with pedestrianising a whole street. First, there's obviously an impact on the ability of customers to be able to access businesses that are located down there. That's particularly important for perhaps members of the disabled community who are reliant on vehicles to get around. There's also deliveries, which are a really important part of retail, and you need to be able to make provision to get stock into store at the times that it needs to get there. So, you know, customers also need to be able to access the central business district easily in a way that they choose to do so. Taking cars off Queen Street may not be the end of the world, but you do need to maintain accessibility for people who, for whatever reason, need to travel by vehicle.
You mentioned the difficulties in delivery specifically. Do you think all of the conversation and responses to that have regarded the fact that courier bikes could get in? Do you think that the size and capability to deliver packages of courier bikes are big enough for what some of these businesses might need?
Absolutely not. If you look at some of the businesses down Queen Street, they will have significant volumes of products being delivered every day and sometimes multiple times a day. It's just not practical to get significant volumes of freight delivered on a courier bike.
You mentioned also the issues for the disability community. Do you think that there's any things that could be in place, perhaps? There's quite a big open space on Queen Street, of course, so maybe there could be more space that is directly for disabled folks. Do you think that there is a better way for us to make a pedestrianised Queen Street more accessible?
I don't think the issue is whether Queen Street should be entirely pedestrianised or not. The question is, how do you make it accessible for people in all forms of transport, whether they're customers or other people who are coming in on foot or who want to be able to walk around the city? They should be able to do that in an easy and friendly way. I guess the question is, why make it harder for people who, for whatever reason, do need to come in by car? If you are a disabled person and you can't get around without travelling by vehicle, that is a particular problem. And if you've still got cyclists going up and down Queen Street, then that's hardly pedestrianised either.
The only thing with that is really the fact that, like, Queen Street, all in all, isn't really that big of a street. These folks do have wheelchairs, if they do have, like, things that can help them get through these states. Will there not still be areas where they can be dropped off to access the street easily?
Feedback Retail NZ often gets from members of the disabled community is that they are reliant on motor vehicles to access businesses. Whether those are their own vehicles or taxis or what have you, I'm not entirely sure. But there is an accessibility issue there. And I think, it sounds fantastic, creating a pedestrianised street, but you do need to be conscious of the fact that you're creating other issues, and you need to be able to make provision for people with accessibility issues or other people who need to travel by car or people who need to deliver freight to get to the businesses that they need to be able to get to.
So going back to the concerns for stores specifically, are there any worries about there being less customers?
Auckland Council really needs to make sure that there's good, solid provision for car parking alongside pedestrian and cycle facilities so that those customers who choose or need to travel by car can park in the CBD. Otherwise, they will simply move, as they have already been doing for quite a long time, out to suburban shopping malls where parking is readily available and often free.
Do you think that there could be any benefits to pedestrianising Queen Street?
It's hard to say. I mean, Queen Street is... foot traffic through Queen Street has actually dropped markedly as a result of COVID-19. There are fewer people going into the city anyway. That means that those businesses that are located on Queen Street are already struggling to achieve the turnovers they need to remain viable, making it harder potentially for customers to travel through Queen Street. And the important issue is that it's around the connectivity of the other roads and making it accessible for customers. If you make it harder for customers, they simply won't come. They'll be even less likely to come, and that's really bad for the CBD, bad for the diversity of the retail and hospitality offerings that are there, and ultimately bad for the city.
Surely having a road in the middle of the area, though, does also make it more difficult for people to get across, for people to feel safe within this environment. Something that Chloe actually mentioned was the fact that, like, part of the reason that we've been seeing so many issues on Queen Street recently regarding crime is because it's such a, especially after COVID-19, sparse space that there's not that many people going in and out of. So there's a chance that this isn't actually making it harder for people to get to if there's already space that is being taken up by buses, that is being taken up by other cars, that could be taken up by more people. Do you think that that is true?
Well, fundamentally, the question is, where are those people? At the moment, those people are often going to suburban shopping malls. They're not flocking into the centre of Auckland to go shopping or to go to hospitality venues.
But could possibly pedestrianising Queen Street not bring them back into the city centre?
Well, you've got to look at it in the context of the overall transport network around Auckland, and if it's not easy for customers to get in to Queen Street, they're unlikely to come.
That was Greg Harford from Retail New Zealand on the pedestrianisation of Queen Street.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.